Welcome to the Autism Parenting Podcast, brought to you by themomkind.com, where we strive to make autism parenting just a little bit easier. Hey, everybody, and welcome to today's podcast. So today, I have another great guest for you. Her name is Tamara Anderson, and she is a mom of four, two of which her boys are on the autism spectrum, and she has released a brand new book called Normal for Me, which I have had the honor to read some of, and it's just an absolutely amazing read. And it's so exciting to have other parents of autistic children start sharing their stories, both the good and the bad, and just, you know, honest view of what it's like, and giving that inspiration that we're all, you know, looking for, honestly, you know, looking for that person that has been in that place where we are, have come out of it, and their children are doing it, you know, really well, and it's just so exciting to see these stories. And her book is called Normal for Me, and I absolutely love this. I know you guys will too, so definitely stay tuned to the end. We have a really great surprise for you at the end of this podcast. But Normal for Me, you know, it's basically learning to love and accept life detours with God's help. And she really talks about, you know, her journey with her sons, you know, from, you know, before diagnosis to after to pretty close to present day. And, you know, even at the end of her book, you know, she doesn't just leave it as, here's my story, here's what I have. She also includes a diagnosis survival guide. So this book is just amazing for those of you who have, you know, a very recent diagnosis, or maybe in the first year and you're still trying to collect your thoughts and trying to get where you're going. But then, honestly, you know, I really think this book could be for anybody. Not, you know, if you're looking at it from above and beyond just an autism topic and just how things happen in our lives that don't really always work out the way we thought it should happen. And, you know, just the humbling experiences that we have. You know, it's just an amazingly raw, vulnerable book. See, I can't even talk today, guys. But, you know, it's really honest, and it pulls at your heartstrings because it gives you real-life examples. You know, she was able to reach back in her journals throughout the book and kind of pull from those moments that she went through and, you know, just not only give you those raw moments but give you inspiration from them. So without further ado, let's welcome Tamara. All right, guys, so today we have Ms. Tamara Anderson from Normal for Me. She is here to talk about her amazing book that releases tomorrow for you guys that are listening to this as it goes live. That's going to be April 2nd. And we're going to talk about some of the awesome things that led up to her book as well as her story and the book itself. So, Tamara, let's just kind of jump into this. We're going to kind of freestyle this today. So tell us, first and foremost, about your story. I know your story, but the audience doesn't. So let's just jump in.
Right. So I'm going to take you back to 2006. And at this point, my family was living in Arkansas. And I have four children. My oldest at the time was 7 years old. And my youngest was 6 months. And three boys, one girl, the two boys in the middle are on the autism spectrum. And so it was the first spring day after a long cold winter. And we all know how that feels. You're just itching to get outside. And so I looked outside and I saw my neighbors out taking, you know, their families for a walk. And I turned to my husband, I said, let's go on a walk after dinner. And so we did our best to grab our kids and try to get out the door. And seriously, we made it about two houses down our street. And my son, Nathan, who was six, did this huge drop tantrum, you know, where you can't pick him up because his arms and legs and back all go limp and he's just screaming and crying. And we try to reason with him and nothing penetrates into understanding. And so finally, after a few minutes of this, my husband turns to me and says, Tamara, I'm taking him home. You go ahead and finish the walk with the other three kids. So he grabs Nathan, throws him over his shoulder, heads back home, and I dutifully finish the walk with the rest of my children. And as I made it home that night and the sun began to set, my heart began to set as well, I guess you could say. It was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And that night I fell on my knees and I just started venting to God. Why do we have two children on the autism spectrum? Wasn't one enough? We can't even take walks like a normal family. Why can't we be a normal family? And somewhere amidst all my blubbering, I felt the whisper in my heart, Tamara, this is normal for you. And that was just an amazing epiphany. And I felt peace when I felt that whisper. And I thought, you know, this is true. It kind of lifted my sights to stop looking out the window at what everybody else is doing and comparing my normal to their normal, because that's not fair. And just focus on, this is normal for me and normal for my family. And yeah, we can't go on walks like everybody else, but maybe we can set a goal to start doing stuff like that. And so that was kind of the story that started the book.
Oh, and absolutely. And I've definitely been there so many times, you know, having multiple children on the spectrum, you know, with us, it's three of them, you know, like you said, you have a different normal. And that's yes. What I absolutely loved about your book is that, you know, it's so easy to compare ourselves to everyone else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you look out the door, you see these different, you know, all these families looking normal or what we perceive as.
Yes.
For all we know, they could be just in the same boat we are. We just don't know it yet. They've only made it one house down the street. But yeah, and it's just, you know, that's one thing I absolutely just loved about your book. And, you know, I was able to get, you know, quite a ways into your book. And I apologize, I haven't finished it yet. But so far, I'm just absolutely in love with everything I've read. And it just, you know, it resonated with me so much, you know, just that, you know, life throws you these curveballs. And one thing I love that, you know, you brought up was the detours that, you know, it's not always, it's not a dead end. It's just a detour that got here.
Yes. And life does throw us those detours, you know, and sometimes we really fight against going down that detoured road. And I know I did. I didn't want my kids to be on the autism spectrum. But, you know, I look back now and I see that this detour took me on a different path that I never would have thought. But I learned so much. And I think that's what God wanted me to learn in the long run is, hey, this is not the path you were planning on going down, but you can learn things on this path that you might not be able to learn any other way. And so I look at life now as, okay, we're going on another detour. I guess I have something I need to learn.
Absolutely. And then we'll take it back a little further just for the audience to kind of hear a little story because I know with me, you know, our autism story was kind of extreme on how quickly we received the diagnosis, but they were extremely late diagnosis. Tell us a little bit about your boy's diagnosis story.
So when I first got the inkling that something was wrong with Nathan, we were living in California and we were getting ready to move out to Arkansas. And my mother-in-law my husband and I had been in a car accident. And so she took Nathan and my parents took my other son, Jordan, for about a month so we could recover from this bad car accident. And when we got Nathan back, my husband's mom said, you need to have him evaluated. And that was the first inkling. Nathan had just turned two at the time. And I remember asking his pediatrician at his 18-month checkup, shouldn't he be speaking more by now? And him saying, oh, some kids don't talk till they're three, you know? And I was like, okay, that's not how my first child was. But again, this kid's different. So, you know, I don't know. So we were moving, and once we got to Arkansas, we also started the process. So we started the process when we were living in California to get some basic evaluations done, but then we moved and had to restart the process all over again. And they immediately started treatment with Nathan at this little, it was called the Benton County Sunshine School, and they are fantastic. They started occupational therapy, physical therapy, because he was, speech therapy especially, he was delayed. And so they did that in our home until he turned three. And once he turned three, they started, he went to school every morning, 5 days a week. And then once we'd been doing that for a little bit, they said, we really need to have an evaluation on him. And of course, the process to get them officially evaluated, it's a long process. Like, it took us 6 months to even get in to the Arkansas Children's Hospital Developmental Center down there in Little Rock. And so we started the process, but it took us a while to get in. And by the time we got Nathan in, we had had our third son, Jacob. And so they gave Nathan the diagnosis of autism that day. And I guess I'd been living in denial for a long time. You know, I was like, he's too social. It can't be autism. What I didn't understand at the time was that different kids exhibit different symptoms of autism. And so, but I think the reason I lived in denial for so long was I didn't want the diagnosis to be autism, because I didn't want that for him and I didn't want it for me, you know? And so getting that diagnosis, it was especially painful. I just remember sobbing the entire 3.5 hour drive home from Little Rock. And my husband finally had to pull the car over on the side of the road and just say, Tamara, what's going on? And it was a physical pain inside, you know, just extreme grief, both that now I really knew that his life was never going to be, again, normal. I hadn't had that normal for me epiphany yet. But grieving that normal child I'd created in my brain when he was born, and that he would do this and this and this and graduate from high school and go to college. I mean, as parents, we do that with our kids. You know, we see that picture in our minds and we think, okay, that's how their life is going to play out. And when it doesn't, that dream shatters, and we have to go through the grieving process for that imaginary dream we have of how that child's life would play out. And so with that diagnosis, that's what happened to me after Nathan's diagnosis. And I kind of worked through the grieving process as best I could after Nathan was diagnosed. And then our son Jacob was diagnosed shortly thereafter, probably about a year and a half later. You know, by his second birthday, I mean, he had problems with his ears. And so I tried to reason that, oh, that's why he's not speaking. And then I tried to reason away the way he'd line cars up. Oh, well, he's watching Nathan do it, you know? And so as our pediatrician looked at me at Jacob's second year checkup and said, Tamara, I think he's on the autism spectrum too. It was hard. It was bitter. It was bitter pill to swallow. And I think one of the things I didn't realize at the time was that part of the grieving process, both for Nathan and for Jacob, one of the steps in that grieving process was anger, you know, and I remember being very angry with the diagnosing physician. I remember being angry with my husband. I remember being angry with God, and I felt guilty. I felt so guilty for being angry at God. And I wish somebody would have sat down and explained to me, this feeling angry is totally normal for the grief cycle. So don't feel guilt on top of grief. Just keep working through it. Keep talking it. And of course, I talked to God. I vented everything out. We have a good relationship, me and God. You know, he's heard me in my good times and in my bad times. And I'm glad he loves me anyway. But that was really, really hard. By the time Jacob got his official diagnosis from a diagnosing psychologist, I had come to terms with it and I was okay with it. But that whole process of coming to terms and finally arriving at peace was quite a journey for me. And maybe it's not for other people, but it sure was for me.
Well, that's something I'm actually glad that you, you know, when I was reading your book, that I'm glad you brought up the grief cycle. Because it was one of those things, like you said, you didn't realize it in the process that that's what you were going through. And I actually, you know, understood the grief cycle actually when I was talking to Dr. Rick Solomon of the Play Project. And he, you know, he details, like you said, every step of the grief process, the anger, you know, the denial, the you know, acceptance, all the steps of it. And it's something, you know, he does talk with his patients, parents about this, but it's something that isn't commonly even now talked about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's one of those things that I wish every parent walked out there knowing that, you know, hey, you're going to go through some form of a grief cycle if you haven't already started, you know, and, you know, wherever you're at in it, whatever step you're at, that this is, you know, it's okay to be in that grief cycle. It's completely normal. And for, you know, for me, my grief cycle wasn't the same. But most parents, honestly, I've seen are basically your exact grief cycle. But for me, it wasn't really anger. It was just more of a, I had been going through the grief cycle so long and so stretched out because it had taken so long with the girls. Mm-hmm. I did go through the anger at times, but I didn't know it was autism with my girls.
Right.
And so my son, by the time that we actually got these diagnoses coming along, well, for me, I didn't realize I'd gone through the grief cycle because here I am, like, yeah, well, I'm accepted it. Cool, let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize, until like what your husband had shared in the book, that, you know, I had been going through it. I had been going through it for probably 5-6 years at that point. By the time we actually saw diagnosis coming for my son and then for my two girls, I had been angry. I had been frustrated. Why am I, you know, I had gone through, you know, denial that there was an issue because doctors weren't finding an answer for me. So I just, well, I was just angry because, well, what's wrong with my child? Okay, well, then nothing's wrong with my child because maybe they're right. Maybe there isn't anything wrong. And I'd gone through all those different cycles. And so I think to some degree, I think every parent does hit most of them. Whether or not they get angry or not, I think it's probably the only one I'd say is a kind of variable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to some degree, we all hit every note in that.
Yeah, I agree.
But the biggest thing, and like you said in the book, I really, you know, love, I think you both, you and your husband kind of got kind of noted on it. Which, by the way, I loved how you wrote that with your husband's commentary throughout. but yeah, it was that, you know, that the denial phase is the one phase that you do have to get past, and you have to get past quickly. And this is, like I said, Dr. Solomon about this before, is that that denial phase is the one stage that's actually detrimental to your child's development, because that's the time when you can be getting help. And if you're in that denial phase, you're not getting the help your child needs because you're denying it.
Yes.
And so, you know, I think that is one thing that I love that you touched on in the book, because that is a huge factor I think most parents don't hear until, like you said, well after the fact, we find out later, it's like, oh, we went through the denial process. That's what that was.
Right? And I didn't realize it till after, and I was reading about the grief process, and I'm like, oh, I went through every step here.
Exactly. It's like, oh, well, that would have been nice to know right along the way. Well, let me back to your book for a little bit. So what made you finally decide to write the book to share your story?
Oh, that is a very, very good question. I think I first got the idea from my sister-in-law. She said, after I was talking to her one day, she said, Tamara, you really ought to write a book. And of course, I was chin deep in having kids that weren't sleeping well and just exhausted. I thought, are you kidding me? I don't have time to write. But, you know, that thought just kind of kept running around in my brain. And so, I mean, I'd record things in my journal here and there. Thank goodness I did, because if not, I would have forgotten so much. But then I just remember feeling God pushing me that way. You need to write about this. You need to get your message out there. And course, we had several moves in there, which is upheaval for the entire family. And finally, about 2 years ago, I was setting some New Year's resolutions at the end of January, because let's be honest, we never get to it at the beginning of January in my house. And I made my list, and then I did something different. I knelt down and prayed about it. And I said, what do you want me to do, God, this year? And it was almost like God took a mental highlighter in my brain and he highlighted, write that book, you know? And of course, that was the one thing on the list that I knew the least amount about. And it freaked me out the most. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but at that point, I mean, what do you do? If you feel like God wants you to do it, you're like, okay, I guess here we go. So that's kind of what started me on the really seriously beginning to write. And I had to get a lot of help with editors and stuff like that, because it's a totally different process than anything I'd ever done before.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I know that's, I've seen a couple of people go through the process, and yeah, like you, I'm like, where do you even start with this? And then having editors tell you to write more, you know, it's like, oh, well, if I need you to, you know, expand on that a little bit more. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And the problem was, I mean, some of those years were just, let's be honest, guys. Some of those years, especially with young kids on the autism spectrum, are just plain awful. And you're living with so little sleep because they don't sleep well, which means you don't sleep well. So I called it being a zombified mom in the book, because that's honestly how I felt. I was living seriously in survival mode for so, so many years. Anyway, getting through those years is just so difficult. And I, when my editor did ask me to go back and expound on certain parts of the book, I remember just turning to my husband and saying, I don't remember. I don't remember how we made it through. I don't remember a lot of the details. And he goes, well, didn't you do some journaling back then? I'm like, I guess. And so I had to go back and dig out my journals and reread and re-remember and re-cry about it all, because it was awful and hard. And I was like, oh yeah, that's why I don't remember any of this. I don't want to remember this, you know. But I think going back and adding those journal entries in my book helped people really see what my life was like at that point. There's really no shining it, you know. It was hard. Yeah. But it's real. And that's what I wanted this book to be. I wanted it to be written for people who are in that moment where they're seriously in survival mode and they're thinking, nobody else knows what it feels like at this point. And yeah, I may not know exactly what their life felt like, but I can tell you what mine felt like. And maybe just knowing what my life was really like will help them say, okay, she got through something hard. Maybe I can get through something hard that I'm going through that's equally hard or harder because she did it. Maybe I can get there too, you know? So that was kind of my inspiration, and going back and digging through the journal entries and in writing the book was to write it for others that are in that hard space right now.
When I love that you actually thought to journal in those moments. I mean, that's obviously God leading you in a direction to even think to journal, because I will admit that I don't think I've journaled in forever, just simply because I don't think I could remember to do that and sleep and, you know, everything else in the moment. And so I thought that was awesome that you had those journal entries to kind of go back and look at the stories, some good, some bad. Yeah. You know, like you said, it was just life. Just, you know, and that is everyone's life. There is not a single person, I think, in the world that has a completely perfect life where everything runs smoothly.
Nope.
No. One thing I also love that you mentioned, going back to the grief cycle, just thinking about it, was that you're not grieving your child necessarily. You're grieving the loss of this image you created from, you know, pregnancy on, or even sometimes before that, you know, when we're just thinking about being parents and mothers and fathers, that, you know, we think of these things we're going to do, and it's not that, you know, it's necessarily a horrible thing that you're grieving either. It's like, it's not that you're grieving. Yeah, you're sad that maybe your child's not going to do it, but it's not, that wasn't their dream to begin with. It was our dream that we're, you know, we're grieving.
Yes.
So that was just, you know, another huge point. I think a lot of parents will read that and see like, oh, hey, this makes sense. It takes some of that guilt away, that you're not, that you feel guilty for grieving, because it's like,
yes.
Well, I shouldn't be grieving about my child. My child's right here. And you feel awful about grieving. It's like, Well, you're not grieving your child. It's just this made up thing that you had in your mind all along.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I absolutely just love that. Well, is there any other thing that you would like to kind of jump into today? Talking.
You are so cute. I just want to get the word out there that if people go to my website, TamaraKAnderson.com, and that's spelled TamaraKAnderson.com, they can get a copy, an electronic copy of my book for free this month. I've just really felt that getting the message out there is so, so important. And so that's my gift as we approach Autism Awareness Month. Actually, we're in Autism Awareness Month, is that you can get a copy of my book for free. So if you go there and to my website and sign up for my twice a month newsletter, you'll get a copy of my book for free. So there you go.
Well, it was absolutely great talking to you, and we will leave a copy of your website also in the show notes that goes so you can click on it and get there real easy. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It's been awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. So that was Miss Tamara Anderson with her book, Normal for Me. As you guys could hear, this was just, or is, an absolutely amazing book that I really want each and every one of you to read. So please do head over to her website to get your free copy. That's TamaraKAnderson.com. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. Also, guys, for the month of April, in celebration of Autism Awareness Month, we have a couple giveaways going on, and one of which is a paperback copy of Normal for Me by Miss Tamara Anderson. So make sure you guys head on over to themomkind.com and enter for your chance to win that, as well as getting your free copy. I hope you guys love this episode. I know I love the conversation today. Make sure you guys leave any comments, questions in the show notes section there. Let us know what you think, what you guys are looking for in these podcasts, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon. Until next time, bye.